Hello, I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 440 for Sunday, October 9th, 2016, are Don Donfris.
Good evening, everybody.
And Dave Jewart.
Hey, guys.
Now, tonight, we're going to be talking about Walt Disney World dining plans, topic we've addressed in the past, but we've got some new changes to the plans coming up here in 2017 and thought it was a good time to revisit that discussion. But before we get into it, I do want to take a moment and thank our podcast sponsor, Fantastic Memories Travel, and its Mouse Master Travel Group. The Mouse Master Travel Group focuses on Disney destination vacations, and Mouse Master agents would love to take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so you can focus on the fun. You can check them out at mousemastertravel.com. All right, so we were talking, before we started recording, actually, a little bit about these changes that are coming up for 2017. And I guess the least controversial pieces are that the premium plan and the platinum plan have been eliminated. I don't know, do either of you guys ever get a chance to spend any time on a premium plan or a platinum plan?
No. Amazingly not. Say that we have.
Yeah, I mean, these plans were, I want to say, and I don't have the numbers in front of me now, but I want to say that they were somewhere in the neighborhood of, started somewhere around $160, $165 a night. It was sort of like a deluxe dining plan plus, and it included a bunch of activity type things in addition to dining credits. I don't think they ever sold a lot of these things. But I don't know, maybe now we have to revisit our Rich Man Poor Man show where we tried to come up with the most expensive trip possible because, they just made it a little harder, right, to crank up that maximum cost.
You could have just said that they were a bajillion dollars each because I don't even know if anyone looked at them. And frankly, I don't know how well Disney promoted them at a mass marketing level. I know that they came up whenever you scrolled down through, but it was just...
Yeah, it was pretty rare. And you're right. I mean, I don't think they ever did market them aggressively. And it's kind of interesting to me that at the time when so much of the other things that they're doing seems to be, opening new opportunities for people who have a lot of extra disposable income to dispose of it there,
right.
that they would get rid of these now. I mean, this seems like something that we would hear about them adding right about now.
Well, and that's it. You're right, and I know we're sitting here kind of crying over spilled milk that we didn't spill, but like think about it. And if I would have thought about this a while ago, I'm like, all right, so you get free dining at some point, right? What would the upgrade cost have been? Like, would it have only been the cost of a standard deluxe dining plan? That would have been interesting, but we'll never find out, I guess.
No, we won't. And the hard part was, and this came up when we did that Rich Man Poor Man show, once you start looking at all the things that are included in those plans, the trick was, if you used all your dining credits and you really made use of the recreation things that were included in the plan, there was very little time left to spend in the parks.
Right. Or sleep.
Right, or sleep.
Right.
I mean, you could use it for some tours, and that would have been cool, right? You could, again, in the parks with the tours, but, most of the other recreational stuff was outside the parks. And
well, and then you got to figure, if you're having three sit-down meals a day, that's a minimum of an hour and a half.
Right, plus on top of a tour that is a structured deal that's got you out, for at least a couple hours, on the tour-focused piece.
Well, you take the eight-hour... Ultra Mega Mega Keys to the Kingdom tour, right?
Right.
And you get a lunch on that anyways.
Right, right.
So then you do a signature dinner, and then you end up eating. Yeah, it would be. I mean, I like food, but geez.
Yeah, nice. An awfully lot of food. Well, we'll come back to that because I think that's going to be an issue. On another front, but. Probably should go through the other changes. The other changes have been, a little bit more controversial. I don't know that there's been a lot of talk about them yet, but you know, they released these plans now. I guess they publicized them, what, 3 weeks ago or so, maybe a little longer than that. And the big change that got some attention is that, you know, two dessert related things, really. One is that quick service combo meals, that combo meal no longer includes dessert. You know, that was that you know, cupcake in a cup thing, or the, you know, whatever, the pudding cups and stuff that
right.
you used to get with your combo meal. Those are no longer right. included in a quick service combo meal. It may be, you know, somewhat less attention given to the fact that there is no more dessert included with breakfasts at all. Which, of course, will be irrelevant to any of the breakfast buffets that people tended to use, you know,
right.
dining plan
right.
credits for anyway.
But, right, right.
In any case, you know, quick service meals no longer include a dessert, but they didn't just eliminate dessert. What they did, and I think this was really a smart choice in a lot of ways, but both the quick service dining plan and the Disney dining plan, you know, that standard plan that includes a quick service and a sit down meal for each night, each of those now get a second snack credit for each night. So now all Disney dining plans, because there are only three left, quick service, Disney dining plan, and deluxe dining plan, all of them have two snack credits per night. So before we get into the you know, last bit of controversy, I thought I'd, you know, get some reaction from you guys about this sort of trading in of quick service desserts for an extra snack credit. Don, how about you? What's your take?
I think it makes sense because a lot of times to get a dessert with some of your meals, especially in the summertime and stuff like that, you may not want it. I mean, you're even on a quick service, you know, it might be a little bit more food than you want, whereas if you're spreading it out over the day, now you have your lunch without your dessert, but maybe in an hour or two you might want a ice cream bar or popcorn in the evening or something like that. And that I think it's a good idea. I think it gives a lot more flexibility.
So what do you think, Dave?
I think it's brilliant, to be honest. And it actually kind of gives me some credence that the next time we go to actually incorporate the quick service dining plan into, at least price it out. Cause we do more quick service.
Do.
Yeah, exactly. We do something like that. Yeah. we use quick service dining a lot more. And the biggest drawback of that when you looked at the dining plan was the fact that you got a dessert. And frankly, if you can tell me one place that's a quick service that you go for just dessert, that where like the dessert isn't just, oh, it's an add-on, I'd be hard pressed to. I'm getting attacked. Apparently there is one.
The dog is pissed that you took his dessert.
Exactly. Winston is mad. No, but I would much rather, kind of like Don said, you know, you never use that dessert credit. You never like really grabbed it there. So it was like, all right, so what can I do now? Well, I can have more Dole Whip. I can really maximize my my dollar for that. I think it's great.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, I mean, I hadn't even really thought as much about the point that Don raises, which is the whole matter of being able to spread it out a little more during the day. And I think that's especially true in those summertime months when the parks are open longer hours and, you know, you really, the snack is more integral to your day because you kind of need that little boost sometimes, you know, to keep going. And that makes a lot of sense. For me, the biggest thing is, and frankly, Disney mentioned this as part of, you know, when they talked about it in the press release, which is, the biggest thing that drove them to do this is they saw the volume of, you know, quick service desserts that were just going straight into the trash. The amount of food waste that was the result of those desserts was just obscene. And I'm glad to see that, you know, I think people actually get value out of that what has now become a quick service credit or a snack credit, I mean, instead of feeling compelled to, you know, take three bites of a quick service dessert that they didn't really want in the first place and didn't particularly like anyway.
Yeah, I agree. That's awesome.
So now the only kind of, you know, negative reactions I've seen to this, aside from a few people who maybe had, you know, particular quick service desserts that, you know, were their favorites. And guess what, folks? They'll still be there on the menu. You can order them. You'll just have to pay a couple of bucks or use a snack credit for them. You know, so it's not like they're going away.
Oh, my. Yep.
But the immediate reaction, the only negative immediate reaction that I got was from a couple of folks I know who do like to purchase the deluxe dining plan. And they said, well, wait a second. If you're on the deluxe dining plan, you're still, you know, having these desserts eliminated, but, you know, you already had two snack credits and they're not giving us third snack credit. So, you know, it feels like the deluxe plan is getting cheated. But if you looked a little closer, you discovered something really unusual. I believe this is now the second time in the last 12 months that we saw Disney actually reduce the price of a standard offering to guests. Right? The first time was when they dropped the price of the Memory Maker package. Right,
right, right.
They were pre-selling it for $169 and they dropped that to $149. Here, when they took away that quick service dessert, they reduced the price of the deluxe dining plan. Deluxe dining plan was in, Dave, you looked up the exact price, but it was what, about $113 a night?
Yeah, I want to say it was $113 or $114.
Okay. And so the new price, including tax, the new price is $103.57 per night. So basically, they cut the price $10.
It's $115.08.
Oh, okay. So they cut it more than
deluxe. $10. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, again, that all the other dining plans actually went up a little bit, just over 5% for 2017, but the deluxe dining plan actually went down almost 10%.
Yeah. Can I also throw out there that if you're getting the deluxe dining plan and using it for quick service, you shouldn't be getting the deluxe dining plan.
This is true as well. We'll
I'll say it the nice way.
Talk about that a little bit in the second half of the show here, but probably not the best use of the credit.
No,
that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts about the price on the deluxe dining plan going down, especially, you know, with the change in the inclusions in the combo?
I'm just still aghast at the fact that they lowered the price of something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and not only that, but something that is a commodity that, you know, that in the next, I mean, you know, they build in inflation of probably 4-7% for food costs in some capacity. I mean, come on, food costs are going up every year. Look at restaurants in your own neighborhood.
Sure.
And right. It's Disney, so it's, you know, so hyper realized.
It that only on the deluxe that only affected the quick
well, service. Now, that's an interesting point, and it's true that it really only affected the quick service credits, which, you know, might not get used as often. But the other thing is that they also, you know, the other piece of this, which didn't get as much attention, because frankly, I think it's generally speaking less of an issue, and that is that a table service meal, a table service breakfast meal, no longer includes dessert at all. Now, realistically, I can't think of when we ever, you know, when we had a table service breakfast that wasn't a buffet of some sort that had pastries of some kind on the buffet anyway.
Yeah, and if you're having a meal, do you really want sweet pancakes and then another pastry on top of it?
Can we just back up? What is breakfast dessert?
Well, exactly. I mean, I've seen some like parfait things and that kind of stuff. But, it never made a lot of sense to me anyway.
Right. Yeah, that's I mean, breakfast dessert to me is getting a Dole Whip at like 10 when it opens. Just me. But yeah, that, I mean, I understand the, well, you know, overreaction theater from the Disney nerd community, but there's really no reason to. You get a lower price point on something that, with the deluxe dining plan, I feel, being someone who's used it several times, had priced itself out of really contention when you're looking at it. It's too much food now. The break-even point was relatively okay 3 or 4 years ago. At $115, you might as well just pay cash. The fact that it's back down, it's kind of, I don't know, that $100 mark is about right, at least for adults, I think. And really...
And the kid price is, you know, $37.62 a night, so it went down too.
Yeah, the problem becomes, like, when you got a teenage daughter, mm-hmm. and she's got to pay $100 and she eats 2 bites of her food and I'm full.
Right.
Right.
I mean, that's...
But you know what, Don?
She eats half her meal.
But she's going to eat half of her meal whether you're paying cash for it or using a dining
credit. Well, no, you're right. You're right. But then at that point, well, and I don't know when you want to get into this, but it's like a lot of times we go out to dinner, my wife and daughter split a meal.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and this is probably a good time to start making that transition and start talking. You know, the last time we discussed the value of the dining plan and whether the dining plan was something that was worth considering, you know, was probably now about 3 years ago. I mean, it was one of our early topics. And I think that at the time, for the most part, we said, you know, it doesn't have a significant, you know, dollar savings. There are other ways to capture financial savings from it. And so, you know, we didn't think it was a particularly good deal. And so we can, you know, revisit that issue here because I think some things have changed. I think some of the considerations are similar. But, you know, as we start to talk about the value and the, you know, the whole is it worth it question here a little more directly, I do want to say let's from the beginning here kind of take off the table, because one of the things that happened the last time we talked about this is that I think we probably ended up spending a third of the discussion talking about everything, you know, contingent upon, you know, if it's a free dining offer. Okay, free dining still exists, but it's not what it once was, right? I mean,
no, it's... Yeah, I mean, you would still... I mean, it's basically either free dining or a discount on your room, and the discount on your room is going to probably outweigh the free dining.
Well, that's what we spent a lot of time talking about the last time we had this show. But here's the thing, right? The 3 months of or more of free dining offers no longer exists.
Right.
There is not this open season on free dining anymore. I mean,
well, it's over 3 months. It's just 8 days in those 3 months.
but it isn't even really. I mean, if you look at it, the offer, I mean, this last year's offer included pretty much the month of September and a chunk of November.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, all of October was pretty much blacked out. Chunks of November are blocked out. So it's not 4 months anymore. It's maybe a month and a half, and the availability is limited. Bottom line is that it was once upon a time a really successful promotional offer. As a result, they don't have to offer it anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? I mean, it worked. It did its job.
Yeah. Whenever Food and Wine got popular... And they realized that they were just giving away free snacks. That was kind of an issue. So,
well, that was part of it. The other part of it is that you know, the only reason that they started offering free dining in the first place was that they needed bodies in their resort hotels and in their restaurants, and especially in their resort hotels, right? I mean, the key is you can only buy a dining plan if you're staying on site. So that's why they were offering free dining, because their hotels were getting dangerously close to 60% occupancy rates. And at that point, it starts costing them money to keep the doors open.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what do you do to pump it up? You say, well, here's this great thing you can have free, but you have to stay in our hotel. And as Don said, you got to pay full price.
Yeah.
But, you know, they don't have to bribe people to stay in their hotels these days. Their occupancy rates are, you know, 85% and above.
It's crazy. Cool. All right. So no free dining.
So, yeah. So let's not even think about free dining, because, look, if you get it, it's a nice little bonus. If it happens to be the best deal, whatever. But I don't think it's really something that should weigh into the consideration of whether, you know, using a dining plan is really worth it. So, Don, why don't we start? Because you were getting us started down that road. And maybe actually let's take a step back. Let's talk about each of these dining plans, what's included in them, and then one by one kind of, you know, what the value is in them and for whom do they tend to be a good deal. So the quick service plan, David, you want to give us the rundown on what's included now in the quick service plan?
Yeah. All right. So quick service plan, includes two quick service meals per person per night, two snack credits per person per night, one souvenir drink mug per person, refillable for free at WDW Resort Hotel quick service locations. Be specific on that. All right. So basically, ballpark price-wise, it's $46.50 for adults and $20.25-ish for children. So basically, you get two quick service meals, two snack credits for every night of your stay. This is kind of, I mean, at least for me, the way I look at it, it's kind of aimed at the commando folks that are in the parks, the people that are always on a go that don't necessarily want to sit down for a meal, but they want to basically prepay for their meals whenever they go there. Price wise, for me, it's kind of right on the edge. The inclusion of the drink mug is kind of nice. If you drink a lot of soda or coffee,
it would be better if it was available at the park too.
Exactly. But that's never going to
happen. No.
Even if they doubled the cost and made it available at the park, that'd be great.
But yeah, that would make it worth it.
Yeah, but I mean, basically if you look at it, it's what, $17 for the mug. Right? Is it still, or did that go up? Anyone know?
I'm not sure.
What are we talking about? The standalone drink mug purchase?
Standalone drink mug purchase for length of stay.
Oh, that's a good question, because they did just kind of mess with that, because they kind of changed. So here's what they've done. It used to be that when you got the drink mug by itself, you had the choice. Right. You could either get it for a single day, for 2 days, for 3 days, or length of stay. And it was a graduated price scale. It started at $8.99 for 1 day. The best value was length of stay at $17.99, because you paid basically an extra, you know, $10, less than $10. And you had, you know, up to 10 days. What they've done now is gotten rid of everything except the length of stay. So it's $17.99 for everybody, no matter how many days. So if you're staying 10 days, it's the same deal as it used to be. If you're taking a short trip, it's, you know, a substantially less of a value.
Yeah, I've come full circle on the mugs. I didn't think it was, and then I had kids. And I realized that you don't have to everyone buy one. So, like, I don't drink a lot of soda. My kids on vacation will drink a lot of tea. And, like, I mean, they'll drink water, but they always need something kind of sugary occasionally. So tea, lemonade, all that stuff, it's available there. And even my wife would go and get Coke to maybe mixed with adult beverages in the room. So, I mean, it was worth it for us to get a few. We didn't all get them, but that's always an option. Now, whenever you get the quick service dining plan, everyone gets one. So you incorporate that into your cost. Like I was saying, was the fact that Disney has put a ton of focus on making their quick service offerings different and cover a breadth of different cuisines instead of just burgers, dogs, and pizzas and whatever like it used to be. I see that this plan has some appeal to me. I don't know, Don?
To me, it's more of prepaying.
Right.
I don't see it as a huge value per se. 'Cause when you price it out, you actually, I mean, if you're ordering the cheaper side on your menu items, you probably actually are paying more
right.
for the plan. You know, if you just had like chicken strips or a burger, it's pretty close to. I was roughly working up numbers, and it comes out, I think, even slightly, you're paying more for it if that's all you're ordering. Now, if you order some of the places, you know, where it's your entree is $16-$17, then right. it works out to be a better value.
Yeah, you get.
But I mean, you know, you're not always doing that either. So I mean, a lot of times, if you're on this, yeah, that's all I want is a sandwich. And it's only going to be $8 or $10 for that, and your, you know, plus your drink,
mm-hmm.
your snacks are, you know, they're in the, you know, $3 to $6 range,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's to me this is more of you want to prepay for everything and not think about your dinner costs.
Right. And some of it depends on, I think you raise a good point. Some of it just depends on what kinds of things you like to order and, you know, where you like to eat. Because if you're getting, you know, the lobster roll or the salmon combo at Columbia Harbor House, that's, you know, $13, you're going to get a lot of value out of the plan fairly quickly. You know, when you figure, okay, so $13 plus drink, so, you know, we're probably $15 easily, meals, then plus your two snacks. I don't know. I mean, the quick service plan is still pretty close at that point because that $46 rate is
right.
is pushing it.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you really got to push the higher end stuff
right.
in order to really truly get value out of it. Now,
well, see, the real value from it, frankly, is the fact that they don't, you know, quick service plan, credits are just quick service credits. They don't divide between adult and child credits. So, you know, if you've got one of those 7-8-year-old kids who eats like a teenager already, well, there you're going to get some real value because,
right.
you know,
right.
you're only paying $20 a night for them, but you can use their credits to order off the adult meal,
right.
off the adult menu.
The snacks or whatever, you know.
Well, yeah, and even the combo meals. I mean, you order a $13 combo meal for a kid, you get two of those and
dude,
you've made $10 on Disney.
The kid doesn't have to order off the kid menu?
No, only on the quick service plan, but that's kind of the little secret. Disney doesn't often share that information, but quick service credits are all in one bucket. There's no separate kid credit bucket.
Okay, so a child, no matter what, can order off the adult menu, but
yeah.
not...
But not with the table service.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that that's going to be interesting because with that new price, you know, going up, about 10%, that 10% is kind of a good chunk of the way to making it not such a reasonable price anymore.
Right. I guess, you know, it's break even at best to me. And, you know, I mean, like I said, if you want to prepay it and, you know, have your meals not thought out, you know, have that all set up ahead of time and then you're not thinking about any of the extra costs. You've got basically your fixed dining costs for your trip. It's not, then some people like that.
Right. Absolutely. And you know, if you're using the quick service plan, you really do have pretty much all of your dining costs up front because you don't have to worry about tips.
Right. Yep. Of course, it's only two meals, too.
Right. But you've got two snack credits. I mean, you can get make pretty good breakfast out of two snack credits.
That's true. That's true.
Take a bunch of granola bars, eat them on the way to the park. That's what we do. I mean, we usually eat two meals when we're down there. So, I mean, we may have a breakfast or two, but it works out. I mean, my big thing is that as much as I can tell myself that we would probably break even and be okay with a quick service plan, we would probably still have five, maybe six sit downs, because that's just what we do.
Well, that's the problem, is that if you're going to do that, as soon as you start booking a couple of, you know, table service meals on top of the quick service stuff you already paid for, you know, your value evaporates pretty quickly.
Yep. You might as well move to the regular Disney dining plan.
Which is a good place. Thank you for the segue, Dave.
Hey, that's why I'm here.
So the most popular of the Disney dining plans is the one often referred to as Plus Dining, because when you build a package, you have your Magic Your Way tickets, and then you add dining to it, and so they say Magic Your Way tickets plus dining. But technically speaking, it's the Disney dining plan. It's the one that includes a single quick service credit, a single table service credit, and two snack credits per person per night, and that refillable drink mug. This is one of the plans that the change applied to. You got an extra snack credit. And the pricing on it, again, went up about 10%. So you're talking $67 plus per night for an adult, and just over $24 a night for a kid. And as we were just talking about, you can still use quick service credits for anybody. You know, they're all in one bucket. But table service credits are tracked separately. So if you've got a child who's age 9 or younger, their table service dining credits have to be used on the kid, you know, the children's menu. You can't get them an adult meal without paying for it. Or using an adult credit for it.
Right. And that stinks in a way, because some places kids' choices aren't the greatest, shall we say. They tend to be the basic fried chicken strips, burger, crummy pizza, something like that.
That's true a lot of places, but I will say that they've come a long way in offering some better options on the children's menus.
Again, yeah, it's, you know, you'd have to kind of know what you're getting into, because if your kid doesn't really like that kind of stuff, you know, which most kids do, but I know my daughter's not crazy about a lot of that kind of stuff, even when she was younger.
Right.
And that wouldn't have made for a great experience sitting down telling her, well, you have to order that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, just to give you a random example of, you know, places where I think they've come a long way. So I just pulled up the, Sauna and Hell Inn restaurant, the inside the Pyramid restaurant at Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Their kids' menu has chicken tenders on it, but it also has steak tacos, grilled mahi-mahi, grilled chicken tacos. So there's a little more variety than there used to be, I think, on the kids' menus. And they've done a better job, of most places at least, of offering at least a couple of options that do sort of, you know, fit in with the rest of the menu of the restaurant, right? It's not all stuff that looks like it was pulled from the, you know, frozen food section at the warehouse store.
Yeah, I guess I'm basing kind of my experience on when my daughter was that age. So yeah,
it's been a little while now.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's actually a pretty reasonable amount of choices anymore. There's usually one or two everywhere.
they aren't always the best, but at least it might be, you know, a grilled chicken with like a rice pilaf and beans or something like that. Like, you know, I don't know.
It's just something a little bit more well-rounded.
Yeah.
But what do we think in terms of value on the Disney dining plan? I mean, this is the plan that, that gets purchased, I think, more than any other. It has some similar issues with the quick service plan in that, you know, you do have that one quick service option. Obviously the biggest, you know, chunk of the value of it comes from having it all sort of prepaid and you've got that done in advance. Although you have the additional issue of still having to tip, those table service meals.
I think if used correctly, it can be a good value. If you are going to be one who does a lot of character meals or the buffets or the Ohana's of the world, as your sit down meal, then you really are going to be able to get away with one big meal, a quick service earlier in the day or later in the day, depending on when you book it. And using those snacks as either, you know, a big cinnamon bun from Boardwalk or whatever, and having a breakfast and then something else later in the day. Plus, like I said, you can always pack, you know, the big Costco or Sam's Club Quaker Oats chewy granola bars where you get like 190 million of them for $8.
Right.
So, is an option. So I think value wise, if you do it right, it's close. Again, the biggest value I see in it is if you're the type of guy or girl who doesn't want to deal with, oh, do we have enough cash? Am I doing this? Am I doing that? Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, worrying about your meals on a day-to-day basis, then go for it and pay for it ahead of time. But realize you are paying a little bit for the convenience. But there is value out there in the one credit world.
What do you think, Don?
I would say, yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, basically, what is it? $21 more to sit down. So that right. means
for one meal.
For one meal.
Yeah. Which is like plus, $35.
Plus
for that meal.
Your tip.
Right, which you're gonna end up paying out of pocket each time.
Right. So again, unless you're gonna do buffet like Dave said, either buffets or character meals, you'd be hard pressed to get the value out of that. You know, because that puts your meal, yeah, your entree at like $35.
Yeah, well, I mean,
and not that you can't spend that for sure.
No, but I mean,
not easily in a lot of places, you know, some of the places.
So it's football season. Let's do, and we're guys who like food. Let's do a fantasy draft of like a 5-night stay. and we'll just go around here and we'll each pick. We'll do 6 nights, so we each get to pick 2 restaurants. All right.
All right. Wait. Dave, that's another show.
Okay.
That's another show because we've done a show kind of like that.
Okay.
And we'll come back to it again. But let's. I mean, just doing a little bit of a survey here, and this is the way I tend to you know, talk to people about it, because I think you're both essentially right. It really depends on what kind of food you like to eat and what you're likely to order. You know, if the folks in your family, if you've got vegetarians in your family, or you've got people who are going to, you know, prefer to order, you know, the pasta dish or the chicken to ordering the steak and the seafood, you're not going to get value out of the dining plan. Because those, you know, the fish entrees, the vegetarian entrees, those kinds of things are going to be in that, you know, $20 to $25 range. And you're just, you, basically, if you're spending less than $30 on your entrees at your sit-down meal, then you're probably not going to get value out of the dining plan as an adult. On the other hand, if you're, you know, somebody whose preference is steak or seafood, well, now it's starting to make sense, because even at a, you know, one credit meal, you know, I'm glancing now at Coral Reef's pricing, right? A steak at Coral Reef is $33. You know, their salmon is $31. Seafood scampi is $32. So, you know, even ordering at a place like that where it's not a buffet, if you're ordering, you know, individual items, at that point, it just depends on what kind of food you like. If, on the other hand, you're going to, you know, the more the buffet type places or character meals, well, then it adds up in a hurry. You know, you go to those kinds of places and, you know, BOMA is now almost $43 per person for an adult for that buffet. And it's a single credit, but it's $43 a person.
Right.
You know, you're going to get value out of that in a hurry. You know, you go to dinner at Chef Mickey's. You're going to get value out of that in a hurry because that's what, $50 a person almost now?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yes.
So I think you just have to kind of think about what kind of dining you're likely to do. And I think there is value. There just isn't value in particular situations.
No, it's, I mean, you know, like most stuff with Disney, you know, you have to kind of do your research on what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it goes across the board. I mean, you just can't walk into the parks and go, okay, we're going to spend the day at the park and not have a clue what's going on in the parks. Same with the dining. You know, you can't just go, okay, we're just going to have this all set up and then expect it to be this wonderful thing without knowing how you want to use it and how, you know, or how you're going to use it.
Right, right. Exactly. And, you know, again, it's just a matter of kind of figuring out what the, you know, what your style is. I mean, if you're doing character meals, but they're all breakfasts, cause that's what you like to do, it's going to be a close call because your character breakfast is generally going to run about $32 for an adult. Now that's kind of right at that breaking point, you know, where maybe you're getting value out of it, maybe not, but it makes a difference if you're doing the breakfast at $30 or dinner at $50.
Totally.
And it's unequivocally true that it's a lot of food.
Yeah.
You know, it just is, even without the dessert on the quick service, because you've got an extra snack anyway, so you're gonna use it.
Mm-hmm.
It's plenty of food. But as long as we're talking about plenty of food, let's talk deluxe dining. This is the most intriguing plan, I think, after these most recent announcements, because with that price drop, you know, instead of looking at $115 a night, it's now down to, you know, just over $103 a night, and you've got three meal credits that you can use however you want, and I'm really intrigued. I don't know, Don, is that enough to make you consider a deluxe dining plan, or is it just too much food?
For us, it's too much food. It's intriguing from a value standpoint, but as we were kind of talking in a pre-show, we just wouldn't get the value out of it because there's no way my wife and daughter could have three full sit-down meals a day. You know, as it is, even like now when we go out to dinner, there's a lot of evenings or a lot of times when we go out to dinner, they order one meal and they split it.
Right.
Because it's just too much food. And that's even considering, you know, sometimes when we go out to dinner, it's like they don't mind ordering separate meals because then they can bring it home and they have leftovers. You're not going to have leftovers when you're you got nowhere to make leftovers. So there's,
right, right.
It's just, I just think, you know, while it could be a good deal, especially if you want to do, again, if you're starting to do character meals and buffets, but then it's also a lot of time that you're spending sitting in restaurants. You know, you figure at a sit-down restaurant, you're probably in the restaurant at least an hour and a half between getting there before your reservation time, then getting seated, having your meal, enjoying your meal, and leaving. You're there probably at least an hour and a half. So out of a day, that's a minimum of 4.5 hours that you're sitting in the restaurants. That's a lot, you know. Now, if some people want to just, that's what they want to do and just have a very leisurely, casual day and we'll just go from this to this to this, that's fine. But, you know, I think most of us Disney geeks are a little more anxious to be out doing stuff in the parks.
All right. Well, that's a good point. I mean, especially if we're talking some of those, you know, fall times or winter times when the parks aren't open as late, it does get harder to justify spending, you know, those chunks of your day, you know, sitting in a restaurant. Dave, what do you think? I mean, you've used the deluxe dining plan before, but, you know, you decided this last round that it wasn't really a value for you anymore. Does the reduction in price change your take?
Kind of. I mean, I agree with Don. It's a lot of food and it's a lot of time. But you can utilize that time, especially when you have smaller kids and all of them want to meet everyone. So you can do, I mean, 1 year, I know we did 8 character meals in 7 days.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's value and it's an hour and a half each time, but you know, they got to meet everyone and it wasn't time that we were spending standing in line. Like it's interesting when I look at it from a planning standpoint, how now we have to, my daughter's still kind of into the princesses. So we have to kind of plan our day around meeting people, yet still as she's getting older, ride some of these harder to get into ride, like, you know, almost must fast passable rides, depending on where you're at. And if you don't want to stand in line for a long time, which we've been able to do, but we had utilized the dining plan to take care of, you know, the Fab Five plus a couple more, plus Lilo and Stitch, plus all the princesses at least once, usually twice, because we would do Cinderella's Royal Table also. And maybe even 3 times if we did, 1900 Park Fair. So we utilize it for that a lot. And then the other half of that is that we would, the wife and I would find a place that we want to go eat, whether we want to try seafood or steak that night or whatever. There's value there, but like Don said, you have to plan. You have to say, all right, so we're going to get up early and we're going to go to this character breakfast. And then we're going to do something later in the evening and figure out lunch in between. But comparatively, the first time we went, it was awesome when it was us and our daughter. When we added the second child into it, it felt like we were always running and always eating. Now, there was 3 or 4 years in between, so who knows if my appetite had changed, my wife's appetite had changed, and we really didn't need to eat 3 times a day. But you can't do it with the standard, I eat breakfast at 8, I eat lunch at noon, and I eat dinner at 6. You can't. You can't.
No, it's too much food in that time period.
And it's too much time. I mean, I know I said this on a podcast before where I had kind of – I would block off like 75 minutes for the 3 of us to eat. And I did the same thing when we went back 3 years later. I blocked off 75 minutes. And by the time we were getting out of places, it was like 95, if not more.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was a service change or whatever, but.
Oh, I mean, you know, dealing with one more kid changes the calculus.
Well, that and when you're dealing with the characters, sometimes if you're on a rotation,
yeah,
you sometimes got to wait for that last rotation to come through, you know, and you can't tell the kids, oh, yeah, we didn't see Mickey this time.
I know we used to rope drop Crystal Palace for breakfast a lot. I don't know, twice on a trip. and then went back and tried to do it the next year. And the first year we went, we had met all the characters in 20 minutes. The next time we went, they said, it will take you up to 90 minutes to go through this, and it took every bit of it. But we had scheduled our day around the fact we would be in and out of there in 40 minutes.
Yeah, see, that's the problem, is you got spoiled the first time, right? You got lucky.
Yep, pretty much.
And you know, you mistook the anomaly for the usual.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a small sample size. What are you going to say?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing that I find so intriguing about it. At this price point, the deluxe dining plan starts to make sense for a trip in which you want to try a lot of two-credit signature experiences.
Yep.
Because, you know, under the other pricing, at $113 or $115, it just really didn't make sense to use dining credits for a two-credit meal,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you didn't get any value out of it. But when you've got three credits at $110 and you're using two of them at a signature meal where, you know, the cost of that meal is now arguably getting into the range of you know, worth the cost, right?
Yep.
Getting the value. Well, now it's starting to make sense, right? You use one table service for, you know, a breakfast of some sort, and you use two more credits and have a signature meal that includes an appetizer, right? So, you know, now you're going to Narcoosi and you're getting, you know, a $20 soft-shell crab appetizer and, you know, $67 lobster tails.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's $88 worth of dinner.
Right.
You know? It's hard almost not to get value out of it at that point.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So it's how you eat, though. If you're not going to eat the most expensive thing on the menu, then.
Well, right. I mean, if you're going to end up with, again, you know, eating the chicken dish or the pasta dish, and it's not a, you know, exotic seafood pasta dish, you know, you're going to have a hard time getting value out of it. But if you're eating, you know, fine dining food and you like to enjoy shellfish and steaks and those kinds of things, you know, you could really make a foodie trip out of it. And in a situation where I never would have recommended a deluxe dining plan before, it kind of starts to make sense. I find it very difficult to think of a circumstance where I would really recommend, you know, somebody book three table service meals a day. You know, maybe in the height of summer when the hours are really long and you're going to, you know, going in that you're going to spend, you know, long hours in the parks. And so the break in the restaurant that takes an hour and a half is, you know, valuable rest up time.
Yeah. Okay, it's a welcome reprieve. Yeah. Right.
You know, maybe there it makes sense to do three sit downs, but I just can't think of any other circumstance where I would recommend regularly to do three sit downs. But two sit downs with a signature, that makes a little more sense. And especially now, you know, including dinner shows, for example.
Right.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Right.
You know, go ahead.
I was just kidding. The other half of it, instead of looking at it per day, the best thing you can do is do it as a entire trip. So, I mean, with all of the information you can find out online, you can ballpark what you're going to spend at a lot of these. And, you know, and this kind of piggybacks on what you were going to say about dinner shows. They're not cheap to begin with. So you may overlay some of that value onto the next day. Where, okay, we've done 3 days of breakfast and signature or breakfast and dining show. You get to that fourth day and you're like, I don't want to do it. So you still just do two meals and just do two single credit meals, but you're still getting value out of
the price you're paying for value previously.
Right. From previous days.
Yeah.
So,
well, and especially now, I mean, for example, this one just sticks in my head because I was just talking to somebody about it. But, you know, they just now at Mickey's Backyard Barbecue added a tier 1, or basically category 1, category 2 seating, right? It used to all just be, you know, the same. And it's, you know, it's dinner show pricing. So it's like $67 a person, which makes it sort of, you know, expensive, but not really expensive enough to use, you know, 2 credits for, and you feel a little conflicted about it, except this new category one seating, you get to get in an hour early, and they open the buffet for you early. So you get an early, smaller group, private character meeting, basically. And it costs 2 credits, just like the regular seating does.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like a free bonus. I mean, when you're paying cash, it's an extra $10 a person. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. It's that whole credits versus money thing, right? If you got to do the extra calculation in your head, sometimes it feels better as a credit. I just think that you know, there are places where when you've got those extra credits to play with, you can steal some value here and there, so to speak.
Yeah. It comes all down to planning, though.
It does. And I would agree that if you're going to do that, you really do have to, you know, expend the extra effort in planning and ensuring that you're not cheating yourself. So, all right. Any other thoughts about dining plans? I mean, one thing that we've kind of glossed a little bit is that element of just having, you know, convenience and not having to think about what those menu prices are. I mean, I've got people that I've worked with who are planning a vacation, and even after I explained to them that, you know, if this doesn't fit your normal eating habits, you're probably not going to save any money buying a dining plan. The response is, yes, but if I buy the dining plan, my wife won't obsess over the prices on the menu.
And there is a value to that, especially on vacation.
Well, exactly. Best value ever.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Well,
go ahead.
No, that not just with your wife, just in general, but no. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, there are people who have said to me, look, if I don't get the dining plan, if I don't pay for this up front, then meals are going to be no fun at all. Because I don't care what is going on around us at the restaurant, he's not going to be able to help but grouse about how much this cost. Or I'm not going to be able to convince my wife to just order what she wants. She's going to keep saying, but I'm not going to pay that much for, you know, XYZ. And, you know, when you do the dining plan, you can kind of throw that out the window. I mean, yeah, you're going to have to pay the tip on it, but the fact is that you get to pick a meal, and, you know, the core cost to you is the same regardless of what you order. So why not?
Exactly.
So I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of times that's the real value that people are looking for with the dining plan. It's not necessarily the dollars and cents value. It's the peace of mind. It's the relaxation. It's the I'm on vacation and I don't want to think about it.
And that's certainly a valid point, you know, to not have to worry about that or think about it. But
there is legit true value or like good value in that, depending on how you vacation. It's nice to be able to, especially going to a place like Disney, you can literally just shut it down. You don't have to do math. You don't have to worry about saying, okay, well, I'm going to go pay down my my bill at the front desk and walk up and say, okay, I'm going to pay $300. And they hand you a piece of paper that says $700. And you're like, what the? That didn't happen recently or anything.
That's right. You just pulled those numbers out of the air.
Yeah, completely out of the air.
Or some other orifice.
Yeah, yeah. So, I feel like they did.
All right. So I guess any final thoughts about dining plans from anybody?
I think it's worth a second look now, especially with the recent changes. I know if like many of us, you listen to a lot of podcasts, across the Disney community, there has been a history of poo-pooing the dining plan as something that you shouldn't even look at. And I think there are now a few valid reasons that it may fit into your style of vacationing. But the biggest thing is like Dawn hit on,
do the math, do the homework, spend a couple hours figuring out if it is going to be a good value for you before you just jump on it.
Yep, I would agree. Any last thoughts, Don? Or did Dave use yours?
Dave just summed it up pretty well. It's just, you know, you just got to know how you want to use it. How do you want to utilize what's there? You know, and it's your comfortability as far as if you don't want to think about costs of anything and have it all paid for up front, then it's, you're not going to probably lose money on it unless you eat very cheaply. And otherwise, I mean, if you think you're going to be eating some expensive meals, then it's probably something to look at.
Yep, I would agree. All right. Well, you know, you've heard our thoughts, so we'd love to hear what you think. You know, we've had this discussion before. It usually engenders some nice debate. Your feedback is important and helpful, and helps us think about what other kinds of things we should talk about on the show. So email us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter. And participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. Or on Facebook at facebook.com/DizDadsPodcast. And if I can plug just one more time, you know, through the end of this month, we're still going to be surveying our listeners. We've not really done this in any kind of comprehensive way in the 4 years that the show's been running, and we figured it was about time. So we've got shouldn't take too long, but a pretty, you know, somewhat detailed survey posted, and we're just aggregating all that information. It's really useful for us for planning future shows, for attracting potential sponsors and all those kinds of things. So if you've got a moment and you've been listening to the show, we'd really love your input. You can, you know, we do ask your name, ask your contact information. That's mostly so that we can enter you in a drawing. If you choose to give us that information, we're going to draw a name when we close the survey at the end of October, and the winner gets a pair, two DizDads coffee mugs, which are nice, high-quality, big coffee mugs. So, you know, we're not charging anything for them. We'll send them to you for free if your name gets picked, and all we're asking is a few minutes of your time and your opinion. So, we'd love your feedback. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Dave Jort.
Hey, good night, everybody.
And Don Donfris.
See y'all.
We'd love to hear what you have to think, or what you have back. Take two. We've heard your thoughts.